Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aller takes the snap. Final play of the game. Over the middle of Warren. Laterals it. Wallace is on the move. Now he's going to drop it back to Aller. He's in trouble. Throws it all the way across the field. It's out of bounds. The clock runs out. It's over. Woo! Notre Dame has won the Orange Bowl. And the Irish are going to play for a national championship. The dream season continues to Atlanta.
Welcome back. It's Molly and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thank you to the Notre Dame Sports Network for that clip. And yes, the Notre Dame Radio Network reminding us that the dream continues. And it will be tonight. It will be in Atlanta. It is against Ohio State. And it will be right here on WBBM, our sister station, at 5:30 pregame, 6:30 kickoff. So let's go down to Atlanta. Let's go to our next guest in the Score Hotline. Is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com, from InsideNDSports.com, formerly of the South Bend Tribune and a longtime personal friend of mine. It's our pleasure to bring in Eric Hansen. Good morning, Eric. How's it going?
Uh-oh.
Eric, are you there? Oh, man, did we lose Eric?
I think we did.
We lost Eric. Maybe Eric can call back. And
that's what we get for being excited.
Oh, I know. We got kickoff at 6:30. Notre Dame without a, I don't want to say without a shot, but they're definitely being doubted. They're definitely being.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
Why?
Because of just the absolute inspired football that you're seeing Ohio State play with right now. They've got an answer for everything. That Texas game was such a good example.
Do you give Notre Dame a chance tonight against Ohio State?
Oh, sure, you do. I give them a chance. I give them a heck of a lot of credit for getting to this game as well. But when I saw the last two college football playoff games out of Ohio State, that's a... They look like they're in a different league from the teams that we've seen. Texas game was more competitive, but to be able to create scoring opportunities defensively and offensively and what you're seeing out of just the sound play at every level, it's hard to argue against.
Well, the question is, I think, which Ohio State team are you going to see? Are you going to see the one that has been dominant during the college football playoff? Or are you going to see the team that showed up against Michigan? If you get Ohio State in a phone booth, as they say, that is the way that you are able to beat them. I don't know if Notre Dame can do that, but it is the easiest method or plan for success if they're able to do that.
Notre Dame boasting the longest win streak in the nation at 13 straight games since that loss to NIU. They've done everything that they were supposed to do to put themselves into this position. The way they win this game, you know, is a run game. Like they have to go with that running game and Riley Leonard being the threat that he is and controlling the clock to a certain extent. You've got to limit the amount of possessions Ohio State has because WRU is going to come to play today, I feel like. How do you triple bracket if you're Texas Jeremiah Smith and still have the challenges that they had?
I don't know that they're going to have that kind of success. I don't know if they can actually find a defensive approach that's going to take him out of the game. Texas did it, but they also committed
all of their resources to it.
Yeah, and I don't know if that is something Notre Dame can do. I do believe that when you look at their Notre Dame's defense, they play a lot of man coverage, and it could be a problem if you can't get to the quarterback. And if you can't get to the quarterback, then you're going to be in a world of hurt. And now I think we can finally connect, perhaps, with Eric Hansen, again, from InsideNDSports.com. I gave him a glowing, glowing introduction, and then we lost connection, or at least he hung up on me. Wouldn't be the first time, maybe, over the years. How are you doing, Eric? Eric, are you there?
I heard laughing.
Okay. This is not going so well.
Okay, this is part of our studio renovation here at the Score.
Yeah, that's at this point we have to mention that. Back to Notre Dame, Ohio State. If they have an advantage, and this is probably unfair, but it's coaching. I think that Notre Dame has the advantage in coaching tonight. I think they do have the coach that you feel like could be the guy that makes the difference. Marcus Freeman greater than Ryan Day in a situation like this.
I think that's fair. Marcus Freeman also, you know, when it comes to all the criteria you're hearing the Bears talk about, especially in the leadership department, the players mentioning, I'm going to say it. Are we ready for the first mention this week on the Score of the leader of men? He's done that. He put his team into this position. He adjusted. You saw what happened after that NIU loss and how they've been able to string what they needed to together. In order to get to this point, they had to do that because they're independent. They could only have one loss, you know, Ohio State with two famously. But in this case, I think they put themselves in the exact position. You said on the pick six, the question was asked, who needs this more? I do think that it is Notre Dame who needs a national
title. I do too. I think I understand why people might answer Ohio State, but I also look at Notre Dame as being a program that has been without a national championship since 1988. And that's been a long time. And people in Chicago can relate to that in terms of, well, it's been a long time since they've been able to experience that kind of success. The 85 Bears, long time ago. The 88 Notre Dame team. Chris Zorich was on that team. Tony Rice was a quarterback of that team. Mark Green, former Bears running back who has fallen on some difficult times with health and some issues he's dealing with in California, was on that team. And so you look at which program needs it more. Notre Dame needs it more because it's been longer since they have been able to be at the top of the mountain.
I forget who I was talking to who was an Ohio State fan recently, and I said to him, is it a successful season if you win the national title but you still lost to Michigan? And the answer was no. And I laugh because it's funny because that's the passion that goes into it. When you lose to your rival as many times in a row as they have, I understand. But my goodness, where does it end?
Well, the parallel with the Notre Dame and Ohio State this year in this game tonight, Notre Dame played Northern Illinois and lost, and then they catapulted throughout the rest of the season. They were able to take advantage of or turn that adversity into success by reminding every player every day that of that loss to NIU. Likewise, Ohio State loses to Michigan, and you're right. Some people think that's the end of the season. People were talking and calling for the end of the Ryan Day era, and they took advantage of that to come together again. So it wasn't as certainly as far back as the NIU loss, which is back in September, and Notre Dame has been focused since that point. But Ohio State and Notre Dame both use losses to win games in the college football playoff to put themselves on the stage tonight in Atlanta.
And it stinks that when you're talking to the two national champion contenders, that it is about the games they lost instead of the games that they've won in a way. Not to get all cheesy for a second, but I don't get to do this very often. The perseverance paid off here. Those are two losses that could have easily ended both teams' seasons if they wanted them to. And instead, the response was not just successful, it was the best in the country, so much so to the point where we're having to question whether or not the expanded playoff really did its job. Because neither one of them had buys. You saw the way, I mean, when I saw the way Ohio State responded against Oregon, for example, that's an inspired team. What they did to Tennessee, those wins to me said so much when it came to just how they were able to come back. The Tennessee game, I don't even know if it's worth discussing. It was that bad. You saw what they did in the first half to Oregon.
Right.
That they looked like an NFL team playing, I don't know, my high school that didn't even win district. it was that distinct.
Who do you give the quarterback edge to tonight? Which quarterback will have a bigger impact on the game, Will Howard or Riley Leonard?
They're both touching the ball every play, but I think Riley Leonard's success as to what he can do being a dual threat, I think, is really going to play into whether or not Notre Dame succeeds.
The only way that Notre Dame wins tonight is if Riley Leonard is the difference. I think.
Yeah.
He can't play. He can't play a game that where he misses gimme open receivers, where he isn't a threat in the passing game. He's got to do a little Josh Allen. He's not Josh Allen. But when you see Josh Allen take the shotgun snap, look for the right hole, go right up the middle and score a touchdown or get a first down or get the tough yard, that when you're watching yesterday thinking, if you put it in the context of Notre Dame football, that's Riley Leonard. That's his success. That's the only way that he can have success, I think, tonight, is if he's able to run the ball effectively against an Ohio State defense that is going to be designed to stop Riley Leonard. All right, we're going to try for a third time. And if
careful, it's turning into the Shane's Meat territory.
Let's not do that. Let's go out to
Memorial Day weekend,
Score
me and Dan.
Hotline brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Eric Hansen, are you with us now?
I am, and Arturo owes me a whole new set of tires. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you joining us and hanging in there while they were trying to get established with some technical problems here. You are in Atlanta. You are getting ready to cover the game. I gave our listeners an idea of your history. You have been in South Bend since the Holtz era. You know what a national championship would mean to Notre Dame and why it's so special tonight, the opportunity. You also know, as an Ohio State grad, how badly they want this tonight. Who is the program? Which one needs it more tonight?
I think Notre Dame needs it more. Ohio State's most recent national championship is closer in the rearview mirror, and I think, you know, they've been a program where people believe if it's not this year, then it's going to be very soon again. And with Notre Dame, it's like, if not now, when? And so I think that's kind of the storyline with Notre Dame. If they can't get to the top, they've seen Notre Dame on the big stage a few times recently, 2012, 2018, and 2020. They got pushed off pretty hard all three of those times. And then in this playoff run, they haven't. They've beaten some good teams on their way to getting to this point.
We were talking earlier about what it's going to take for Notre Dame to win, essentially the X factor. And David and I both agreed that in order for the Irish to either partially control the game or at least have a fighting chance, has got to be through Riley Leonard. How much is what he's able to do as a dual threat going to factor into the game plan that we see? Like, the Irish win if. How do you finish that sentence?
Well, I'll finish it with the Riley Leonard part of it, and then I do have a few other thoughts. But as far as Riley Leonard, the Irish win if Riley Leonard is truly a dual threat. If his legs add to their running game significantly, and he's able to be good enough in the passing game where Notre Dame can be balanced, I think that's one of the paths to victory. But I think in addition to that, you know, Notre Dame needs to win in the margins. They need to be better on fourth down. They need to be better in special teams. They need to win the turnover battle. You know, Marcus Freeman is 18-0 when his teams win the turnover battle. If Notre Dame wins the rushing battle, not easy against the third, number three rushing defense in the country, he's 29-3. Those are two big statistics. And Riley Leonard's legs are a big part of that rushing record.
Talking with Eric Hansen of InsideNDSports.com, formerly of the South Bend Tribune and a longtime friend. And Eric, you know what Marcus Freeman has brought to Notre Dame. He has put Notre Dame on the precipice of a title in a way that Brian Kelly leaving suggested couldn't be done. In your experience, how would you describe what the best thing is about the Marcus Freeman era and why he's been able to do in 3 years what some people thought couldn't be done?
Your show isn't long enough, but I'll crystallize it into two concepts: authenticity and his messaging of choose hard. Marcus Freeman is the same guy on the podium as he is on the sideline, as he is around his six kids, as he is if he's going to go pick up a pizza. And kids resonate with that. They want real when they're dealing in recruiting, when they're dealing with the portal, when they're dealing with whether they want to jump in the portal and leave. They want somebody real that they can trust and believe in. I think Marcus Freeman brings that. He's a guy that's in step with all the changes in college football, NIL and all that stuff, and embraces it, and yet gives you old school values. The other part is the choose hard route. That's his motto. And when he's trying to sell Notre Dame, he's not saying, oh, it's not as cold up here as you think. The classes aren't as hard as you think. He's like, yeah, it's cold. Classes are hard. Our football, it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to compete to get on the field. Choose hard, and it's going to help you down the road in life and in football. And I think those two things are kind of the lifeblood of what has led to this moment.
Of course, since we're in Chicago, we're not just focused on the national title game, but also the rumors surrounding Marcus Freeman's coaching status, any sort of contract, I think, notwithstanding. How do you think he's handled that piece of this, knowing that NFL teams have put him on watch lists, or there are these rumors that fly around about whether or not he's in candidacy with this national title game on the line today?
I think he's handled it really well. I mean, I think he really hasn't thought a lot about the NFL. Maybe down the road he will, and he's flattered about it. But if Marcus Freeman were really interested in the Bears and he ended up taking that job, I would walk to Chicago and bring David his favorite pizza from Atlanta.
From Atlanta.
But I think the one thing, again, that's helped Marcus is his authenticity with his players. And I think when Marcus says, look, this is where I want to be, they believe him. You know, when Brian Kelly left, he was at a recruit's house eating burnt ends. And he got a phone call from his agent and didn't say anything to his assistant coaches, went right back in and had a second helping of burn ends, then got in the car and the deal was done. And his assistants, the recruit, who was Tobias Merriweather, who's now at Cal, nobody knew anything. And so I think it's really a different approach. And I'm not dissing Brian Kelly. I think he did a lot of great things for the program, but how he left wasn't right, and I don't think Marcus Freeman is going to have a sequel to that.
All right, Eric, football question for you. Tonight, obviously, Jeremiah Smith is maybe the most explosive receiver in the country. They also have other options. It has become wide receiver U. Notre Dame plays a lot of man coverage, I think 56% of the time. That's a high risk, and if you do that, maybe high reward if you get to the quarterback, but I don't know how they're going to combat this passing game with Ohio State because of Jeremiah Smith, because of the explosiveness. What do you think will be the plan defensively for Al Golden?
He's going to have to mix it some, but, I mean, man defense has been their calling card all year. They are the number one pass efficiency defense in the country. They were number one last year, and they played against some really good passing attacks. Nothing like this. This is industrial strength. But they've held up, and you're right about the pass rush. That's really going to be the key because their cover guys are really good. Their pass rush has been pretty good as of late, but I don't know. I mean, they've lost three of their best pass rushers this year, including Riley Mills in the Indiana game. He was their leader in sacks. So they really need to find ways to get pressure without giving it up somewhere else, being creative and scheming up pressure. But that back end of Notre Dame is better, I think, than people think. But, man, that's going to be fun to watch tonight.
Well, and I feel like the sacks are just as crucial on the Ohio State side of the ball for Notre Dame to be able to avoid them. We saw how that led to Texas's demise. That's why I think running the ball with Love and Leonard or some sort of combo there is so important to this game for them.
You're spot on. And the thing is, you know, a lot of teams, including Ohio State, haven't seen a dual threat from a running standpoint this good. I mean, he averages almost 6 yards a carry. He's got over 15 rushing touchdowns on the season. He's a big, strong guy that gets a lot of third down conversions and a lot of fourth down conversions with his legs. And if he can be that guy tonight, Notre Dame has a fighting chance.
All right, Eric, so that fighting chance you speak of, you know how long I have followed Notre Dame football and you know how long you've been around it as well. The Notre Dame moment thing, they need one of those tonight. I don't think it's likely, but I do think it's possible. If it happens, what will have gone right? Who will have come through? And how magical will it be?
Well, if you remember the Penn State game, the guys that kept surfacing were the guys that were kind of comeback stories, like Mitch Jeter, their kicker, like Christian Gray, who got picked on at the USC game, gets the big interception at the end of the game. I think it'll be somebody that you don't expect. I mean, obviously, Riley Leonard and, you know, Xavier Watts, their best players have to have big games, but it's going to be somebody that comes out of the shadow, a guy like Jalen Snead, the guy who was rushing the passer, Drew Aller, when he threw that bad interception at the end of the game. So my guy is Jalen Snead. I'll say that is the guy that will produce the Notre Dame moment.
Eric, thanks for hanging in there with us with some technical problems. I hope you're having a great time in Atlanta. It's really great to talk to you, and I know you'll do a great job covering tonight for InsideNDSports.com.
I appreciate it, and next time I'm on, I want theme music.
Love that request.
That means you're coming back. Eric Hansen from InsideNDSports.com. Thanks for your time. He is down in Atlanta, the Notre Dame-Ohio State National Championship game on our sister station, WBBM. The pregame is at 5:30, kickoff at 6:30. We'll make our predictions next, and we'll cover a lot of ground maybe we haven't covered on some other things going on over the weekend. Layla Rahimi is in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi sitting in for Mully today. It's been a lot of fun keeping you warm on a frigid Monday, Martin Luther King Day. A lot of people not at work, staying home and staying warm, Layla. And I just looking outside, it looks pretty nice out.
The sun is shining.
The sun is out, but it's 1 degree.
That's more than I can say for most days in January.
Yeah, it's crazy. But nonetheless, it's been a lot of fun. this morning, and we want to get to a couple of things before we get out of here. We had a good conversation with Eric Hansen, finally, at InsideMDSports.com. We'll pick the national championship game, remind people of our predictions if they weren't listening at the pick six. And if you weren't, why not? Because you can go back on the rewind, but you should really get up that early.
It was a very robust, that's a knock on me, and I will take that personally. I cheat. I am a cheater. I have used listening enhancing substances. I go on the Rewind app on Mully and Haw, and I on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, and I click 6 o'clock, even though it's like at 8. Okay,
it's a fun segment.
I time shift.
It is. It's a fun segment. I'm glad you are that loyal, and you are, because you reference those things often. We also had the conversation.
Biggs and Pick Six or appointment listening.
Appointment radio. When we talked to Crane Kenny on Saturday, it was easy to overlook some of the details of what he was talking about because there was so much other news or things that got attention. Sammy Sosa's return, Tom Ricketts pushing back at the lack of spending, the Alex Bregman wait because he's still out there for the Cubs to sign. We had Kyle Tucker, and we talked to Justin Steele, and there was a lot of good stuff. Lost in it might have been the fact that the Cubs, according to the president of business operations, look like they're in line to host the 2027 All-Star Game at Wrigley Field. Here's what he had to say about that.
It's the annual question at the convention, and you're right. You know, we're overdue. You know, we're more than 30 years past our last All-Star Game, so we're in the right in asking for it. The commissioner wants to do it. We've had multiple mayors chase this. You know, Mayor Emanuel Rahm went to New York with a proposition for the game. We were trying to get it for the finish of the Wrigley project. So just looking at like 2021, which turned out because of COVID not to be, wouldn't have been the year for us. But the commissioner made it very clear to then Mayor Emanuel, this is what I need to see around Wrigley Field. So every year there's a scoring system. And unfortunately in New Orleans, we just saw another incident, right? But even going back to the Stade de France and what has been happening internationally, like there's a scoring system for each ballpark in terms of perimeter security, and we are last in baseball because of the beauty of Wrigley Field. Like if no disrespect to the sell, the guaranteed rate, but their ballpark sits in a sea of parking lots and an expressway. So they have a natural buffer to anything untoward happening. The beauty of Wrigley is we play in a neighborhood, so that means active streets. During the game, 40,000 people inside, and a U-Haul truck that could have fertilizer in it rolling right past the gates. That's no good. And the commissioner made it very clear, that's no good. Those streets need to be closed, not just for the moment that the game starts, but during the game. And progress was made, and then Rahm left office. And honestly, Mayor Lightfoot made a lot of progress with the commissioner and a plan, and then was not reelected. So we picked up the torch with Mayor Johnson, and he's been making a lot of progress. And I think it's a very realistic expectation for 2027 based on the conversations I'm aware of that are happening. And these are really not my conversations. Mm. These are conversations between the Illinois Department of Tourism, IDOT, and CDOT, the city and the state. Addison is a state road.
Right.
The rest of the roads are city roads. So this is a conversation that we're aware of and supportive of and championing, that are happening between city and state to try and find a good solution. We understand that the merchants up and down Clark Street, Addison Street, don't want to have the streets closed. It's not just because we want them that they can happen. There's commercial impacts of closing the streets for a four-hour block of time. Residents have a feeling about closing the streets.
Right.
So it is complicated, but I'm sensing good progress, and therefore the commissioner has basically made it very obvious, fix your security issue, and I'm going to award you an All-Star game. So we know that we got to Atlanta in 25, Philadelphia in 26. The next game that's open is 27.
2027, that's Crane Kenny, the Cubs president of business operations, establishing 2027 as a realistic year that the Cubs can host the All-Star game at Wrigley Field. Layla, it's been since 1990. Can you believe that?
No, it's unacceptable.
1990. Was the last time the Cubs hosted the All-Star Game at Wrigley Field. And that was a very, very long time ago. So it sounds like they have the things in place. They've done a lot of the
logistics. They've
cut through the red tape, perhaps, or dealt with a lot of logistics. And it looks like it could be just a matter of when, not if, any longer.
And it's not sexy to talk about funding for roads and whose responsibility is what, but that is ultimately a lot of what the job is for Crane Kenny and other people in the public sector. So I appreciate him sharing that with us, because that is how you make something happen. And as proud as Tom Ricketts was in talking to you guys on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday about investing in what's around Wrigley, that's investing in the city. And you should get an all-star game for that. This should be a perfectly fine atmosphere to have an all-star game. And as somebody on the text line points out, 309, it was good enough for a World Series,
yeah,
which is multiple games.
Right.
So the question becomes, why is it different for an all-star game? And I think it's because of the, you know, it's a different animal. There's planning involved. There's dignitaries who like to go there, especially in Chicago.
Yeah, three games in 2016. Yeah.
Consider what happened with the all-star game for the NBA in 2020, and what a big event that was for the city. So, you know, it can be done, but I understand security is an issue. Bruce Levine mentioned the barriers. Those are still up, because I was at the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wrigley yesterday watching the NFL games.
There's no baseball.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, guys.
Was it fun?
Yeah, you can go.
It's a good place to watch a game.
And yes, my friends were all placing bets. I did not, because
You didn't have to place a bet to get in there.
No, I just wanted to watch and enjoy the food and my Diet Coke. So I was able to do so. Had a lot of caffeine. It kept me up late. And maybe I didn't get enough sleep this morning. However, it was a really fun time. So I definitely support what's around it. But that, for sure, the investment in the city is something that that should be rewarded. This is a fine site for an all-star game. And I say fine
long.
Being very complimentary. This is,
all right, so
this is a good place for it.
I'm putting you on the spot. Because,
yes,
because of your age, I'm not expecting you to know these things, but it is kind of fun to consider. Name three players who played in the 1990 all-star game at Wrigley Field. Name three starters in the lineups, American or National League.
Yeah, I don't do that. Like, I don't.
You don't do trivia?
Not like that. The 90 All-Star game?
Just shut me down.
No, because, like, do you know how old I was at the time?
Yes, I do. I'm just asking.
All right, I'll just name some people who
okay.
I think.
Who do you think?
Well,
it's fun to look at the lineup. All right, I'll tell
no,
you.
No. Yeah, okay, Ricky Henderson, just because he's top of mind.
Okay, Ricky Henderson was a starter. Yes.
Okay.
That's great.
So my batting average is .333.
There's one.
I'll stick to that.
All right.
I'm trying to think.
Two of them were on stage this weekend at the Cub convention.
Two of them were on stage at the Cubs convention.
Little sports Jeopardy with Layla Rahimi.
If you want some help, Layla, let me know.
Andre Dawson, right?
Andre Dawson, number two.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, Dustin, I'm listening. What you got?
You got to think Cubs, because coming off that big 89 season, there's a lot of popularity.
Ryan Sandberg.
Yes,
of
Rhino.
Of course, Ryan Sandberg.
Rhino was starting at second base.
How about Michael Jack Schmidt?
Michael Jack Schmidt, no.
Too old.
Yeah, that's 1990. Come on, Dustin. Starting third baseman, Chris Sabo.
Chris Sabo.
Reds.
Listen to this lineup.
I can give you Reds.
Yeah, Reds. Will Clark was the first baseman.
Rhino's the last one I got. Terrible.
Chris Sable was at third. Rhino at second. Ozzie Smith, the shortstop.
Yeah,
Dawson Dykstra, Kevin Mitchell in the outfield for the National League. Starter, Jack Armstrong. In the American League, Bob Welch was a starter. Sandy Alomar, catcher. Mark McGuire, Steve Sachs, Wade Boggs, and Cal Ripken Jr. was the infield. And Jose Canseco, Ken Griffey Jr.
Jose Canseco.
And Layla's right choice, Ricky Henderson in the outfield. Fun lineup.
Ricky was that one was a no-brainer.
That's how far back you have to go the last time the Cubs and Wrigley Field hosted an All-Star game. So that was interesting. It's about time. Bring it back.
How many of those you think Les would have gotten?
All of them.
All of them, yeah.
All of them.
And He was definitely there.
I was there. I interviewed Ricky. I can't do the Les imitation as well as
I last
Brody.
Saw Les in person in the Wrigley Field press box. It was for a Northwestern football game.
Oh, wow. That's a good memory, though. Actually, that's a nice memory. So that was Crane Kenny talking about the All-Star game. But 2027, it's curious to look at what the Cubs are looking at in terms of bringing that to their stadium and ballpark. By then, 2027, will the Bears have put shovels in the dirt yet? Will they have made progress?
There's a good question. What will we see first? An all-star game at Wrigley or a kickoff in the new Bears?
Will the White Sox be constructing a new ballpark at the 78 in the South Loop.
Oh, man.
Or will the Chicago Fire have beaten them to that spot because they're having their sights set on a 25,000 seat stadium because they're going to bring in Neymar. Do you see that?
Yes, I saw that they were working on it.
They're working on it. Still working on it.
Yeah, that's going to be one you're going to work on.
Do you know how many Twitter followers he has? I know you hate trivia questions. Do you know how many Twitter followers, Instagram followers he has?
Oh, at least a million.
227 million.
Okay.
See, the 19th really, most in the world.
Things that I can readily look up, I don't like. Yeah, it's just a bad use of my brain cells.
I'm not trying to waste your brain cells.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
There are certain, it's like phone numbers. You used to have to memorize phone numbers. Now we don't have to anymore.
So we have building projects that are, you know, might be underway by 2027. Finally, we'll have a Wrigley Field All-Star game. And who knows what else? Who knows?
The tax rate will be negotiated. No, that already got negotiated at Arlington Heights.
Maybe by 2027, will DePaul be in the NCAA tournament by then? Why do I mention DePaul? Because they ended the losing streak, the longest losing streak that you could ever imagine. Well, maybe not. 39 games. 760 days, I think. It was a long time. But they beat Georgetown, finally, and the Big East streak is over. You have to give Chris Holtmann credit because this was a road game. They played at Georgetown, and they held on for a victory. So I don't know if I'm happier for Chris Holtmann, the DePaul players, or Zach Zaidman.
This is what they hired him to do, though, right?
Zach?
Zach is a, we know that Zach is a winner.
Yeah, Zach's a winner. They hired him to bring wins to the DePaul basketball program.
But Chris Holtmann, former Big Ten Coach of the Year, right?
Yes. This is what they hired him for. You're right. Chris Holtmann has some talent. He mined the transfer portal successfully. They have upgrades. They're not big enough to compete maybe in the Big East, but you do see reasons for hope there.
Tall task. And you have to start somewhere. Beating Georgetown is a big start. And I am also bothered the Illini lost to Michigan State. It was an 80-78 game. I'm sorry, Illini people, that it's
you know what's going to happen. Why did you do that?
A lot of controversy. A lot of controversy.
I know. Yes.
Game.
Yes.
Why did you do that, Layla? Why did you do that?
Because the acknowledgement is important.
No. See, now everybody's going to say you only mention Illinois basketball when they lose because we get enough grief when they win and we don't mention
it. That I mentioned that Oregon game quite a bit, actually.
Okay, you did.
At least on the midday show. I definitely acknowledged it a few times.
Well, that's good for them. And what was the controversy in the Michigan State game?
Well, just the ending of the game. So the coach got a technical. Illinois rallies back. They're down almost 16 at one point. They rally back, make it a one-possession game. There's an out-of-bounds moment after a missed free throw on purpose, and they shot the ball over from like out of bounds over the back of the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may have thought that the ball hit the wire, and that's why. But I was listening to the game on radio at that point. I was driving around. Illini basketball is on radio, not just TV. And the announcers couldn't explain what happened. They had no idea. They're like, somebody grabbed the ref and explained what. It was just like, good night, everybody. They did mention that Tom Izzo like walked off the court with his like head down because he was probably embarrassed at how bad the officiating was out at East Lansing yesterday.
That's embarrassing. Tough loss for the Illini. All right, before we get out of here, though, Layla, two more things. Bear with me. Switching to another basketball team. Bulls lost five in a row. They are back in action tonight against the Clippers right here on the score. 9:30 tip-off, I believe. After, you know, if you're bored by the national championship game, turn on the score and chuck. So five in a row, they are now at the 10th spot in the 10th seed for the play-in round, but they're the ninth worst team in the league, according to tankathon.com. Best of both worlds, or what's going to happen? Zach LaVine's playing as good as he has played in his NBA career, and it's getting nowhere.
We are careening toward the NBA trade deadline, where the Bulls haven't made a trade
in
3 years.
Word. Careening.
We are. So at the deadline, the Bulls have gone 3 straight years without making a trade. So I know that they want to move Zach LaVine. And I know Zach LaVine is open to it. And I think he's doing his best to show you who he can be. They've got to do something about the roster if they want to ensure that they're protecting that draft pick.
Broader question, maybe pick six question for another day this week. Dustin cannot be included because he's not objective when he speaks of this player. But what are they going to do with Patrick Williams?
Name. Oh, Patrick Williams.
Yeah. No, not Zach. He calls him Max Levine, but
I'm
maybe
biased
I was right about something else.
I'm biased about Dustin's bias. That just happened.
Well, you're a regular listener, so you know that he refers to Zach Levine as Max Levine, and the ooh is for Patrick Williams.
Standing in the corner waiting to shoot a three. That's not a basketball move. Is it 18 or 19 million a year?
19. Wait, no. 5 years, 90 million. That's
18. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's 18.
Just shy of 20, about 10 too much.
That's why it's not tradable.
Here's the thing. Right now, they're in the perfect spot for them. Right now, they're 10th, so they're in the play-in, but they're protecting the pick because they're the ninth worst in the league.
They can host dinner theater and still draft in the top 10.
Do I expect them to stay in this precarious spot? No. There's a lot of things that happen around it. Did you see the Thunder score, by the way, in like the first quarter?
Oh, my gosh.
They were up like 34-7 or something.
They scored 75 in the first half,
on the Nets?
That's,
it was wild.
That's pretty bad.
Nobody's
all right, before we get out
SGA.
Here, Notre Dame, Ohio State prediction. Remind us.
I said 30-28, which means bet the over, friends.
And I think 30, I said
30-28 Ohio State, just for the record.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And I'm
they just look too inspired.
Heart over head. I realize this is ridiculous, but it's going to be a Notre Dame moment, 28-24, Irish over Buckeyes. Riley Leonard is going to be the player of the game. Dustin?
21-20 Notre Dame, but the bet, sorry, Layla, maybe in the second half, but the first half under, okay? First half under is what you're looking to do in this game, just like it was against Georgia. So the total is 45.5 according to Circus Sports Illinois, and I am looking for the first half. The total's 22.5. Under 22.5. That's where you would, at least that's where I will make an investment tonight.
All right. Well, that's good advice. We'll see if it's good advice in the morning. I think it's going to be one of those Notre Dame moments that maybe it's wishful thinking. It's going to be a great game, and it will be on WBBM, our sister station, beginning at 6:30. All right, it's time for transition. Next with Marshall Harris and Dan Bernstein. We come back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Now we're in a transition a little bit.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi has been in for Mully today. Before we get out of here, you want to be the sixth caller to The Score's contest line, 312-540-0670. Get this. You can win a pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton's All-American Roadshow with special guest The War and Treaty, because he's added a second show on Saturday, June 28th. At the Credit Union One Amphitheater, Tinley Park. Tickets at LiveNation.com, 312-540-0670. A lot of people to thank today. We want to thank you all for your texts, for your calls, for your emails, and all your tweets, all the participation. Thank you most of all for listening. And thank you to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
Hold on to the ball. Sorry for my language. Annoying. I'm tired of the
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem for Lamar Jackson. Did not hold on to the ball, and he paid the price. Thanks also to Robbie Triano, who's in for Brandon today.
A lot of people don't know, what they go through. You have to get up. Bodies beat to long season.
You know who that was. Dan Campbell. Long season. Ended the wrong way for the Lions. 15 victories, but they'd bow out to the Commanders. And most of all, thank you to you, Layla. Thanks for getting up. It was a fun show. Had a great time. And we know it's cold outside, so thanks for being here.
Oh, yes. It was really hard work to talk about the NFL games that I watched for the last 2 days. Somebody
now,
had to do it.
It's time for the Bernstein and Harris Show. Marshall and Dan, what's up, guys? Good weekend?
Yeah, all just right. Sat around watching football.
Yeah, it was
very
nice.
Very up and down weekend. Very up and down.
Uh-oh.
Some illness issues Saturday morning, Friday night into Saturday morning, and then
that's not good.
Bounce back.
And you playing hurt?
No, I'm good now. I'm good. I'm very happy to be here to talk about all that transpired over the weekend, which is a lot when you talk about the Bears coaching search, the NFL games, the results of said games, and how that might impact the Bears head coaching search. It seems like to me we are coming, past the narrative hook, and we're reaching the climax of this thing. And I'm just wondering if that climax comes in the next couple of days.
Done by the end of the week?
I think something happens.
Announcement Friday?
Yeah, I think so. Hmm. I think there's a shell game going on with these coaching candidates, with the teams, and I don't think the Bears will be the first team to announce a new head coach, but I think the dominoes will affect everyone.
You agree, Dan?
I do think the order of the interviews matters right now. If this is all hell's going to break loose right now, because teams are free and clear. And to me, if Ben Johnson's in your building, don't let him out.
If Ben Johnson is in your building, it's a sign that Ben Johnson prioritized you over the other two.
Don't let him out. Yeah. Like, if the Bears are third, they're in real trouble.
So you're saying to kidnap Ben Johnson?
I'm saying if he believes that you have the standing to merit an in-person interview, you better make sure he doesn't leave.
If he ends up in Las Vegas first, I don't think he leaves. If he ends up in Las Vegas finally, then I think the Bears misread the situation. If you feel like you wanted Ben Johnson, you did not do everything to get him. And that's not just money. That's Ryan Poles. Let's be honest. It's more than Ryan Poles.
It's George McCaskey insisting on their vertical structure and going out of his way publicly. Our structure is vertical. And the coach reports to the GM. The GM reports to the president. The president reports to the chairman. Well, that's not changing. And he's like, well, what if somebody wants something other than that? Well, usually people just want the job.
But usually that he said that because he could say that because his general manager was still employed. I guess that's what we're saying, is that if you had cleared the decks and started over, truly started over, you wouldn't have had to reinforce the idea that you have a vertical structure, because the general manager that you would have been talking about in the middle of that would have been the handpicked GM by your head coach that you wanted.
Even so, that shows you how important the vertical structure actually is to them. It's not he didn't just back into that.
Right.
They cleave to that structure completely oblivious to how inflexible it makes them when it comes to making these massive decisions.
As if they're in a vacuum, but they're not in a vacuum. Right. That's the problem. That is the overarching problem with this organization as I see it right now. You're acting like you're going to go and get what you want, like you're interviewing people for a job and it's the only job that exists. It's not.
That's the part for me. That's where the typically they want the job comes into play. It's typically the people you want the job. Mm-hmm. And how have they turned out for you?
Not well.
How's it turned out since George McCaskey became chairman?
Not well.
Remind me how many playoff wins do they have since?
Zero.
The other piece of this is, do you have to fire your general manager in order to get the head coach?
No, you can promote him.
But in the NFL, do you have to fire your general manager now to get the head coach you want? And that's a question that I think
depends on who the general manager is and what he's done.
Yeah, it depends what the demands of the head coach are, and how powerful that year's crop of head coaching candidates is.
I will say this, though. As much as I think if Ben Johnson is your plan A, you need to try to do everything in your power to get him, all the things. When you hear reports, or when I hear people tell me that his asking price is around $13 million.
You think he might be pricing himself out?
That's a lot for a guy who's never been a head coach
before. It's not your money.
He'll get it, but I would have some hesitation, or at least I'd want to talk through it, because it's not an automatically, that's reasonable.
Compare that to the tax bill in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, look, they're at paying how much for a pile money of dirt. They've paid on
And you
on
don't
MC
have a salary
estate.
Cap when it comes to coaches. I just think that, you're probably with the Bears. It's hard for me to envision them paying a head coach $13 million.
Why?
Maybe George McCaskey
was... Because it's the Bears.
Maybe George McCaskey was listening to Mr. Ricketts and what he had to say about money. And he's like, you know what? I like what that guy's saying. I can get on board with that. That's how we're going to... I'm trying to tell y'all.
That guy's won a title since 2011.
Mike McCarthy has been, and in my mind still is, the guy that they would be most comfortable in.
I don't disagree
in their
with
vertical
that.
Structure.
I agree with that, because he's done that kind of thing before, and he's worked for Jerry Jones for the last 5 years. Goodness sakes.
And nobody's climbing over themselves to hire him. And that this is a guy who would want the job.
Saints. The Saints are...
Maybe. But for the same reason.
Yeah.
But
what I'm saying
for the
is
same reason with Mickey Loomis. Yeah, you know exactly who's in power there.
And the point is, when he became available, when Mike McCarthy became available, how many other teams considered swapping out their current coach for him?
No, there was no team ready to Renteria their coach.
Right, that tells you what you need to know. That's a guy who would take a job because he wants a job.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a perfect fit for the Bears to continue their run of mediocrity under George.
Although they could win games and maybe the playoffs.
Floors and ceilings. The highest floor would be Mike McCarthy. The highest ceiling is Ben Johnson. There's no doubt about that.
I think there is doubt about whether that's the highest ceiling or not. I think there's other guys in this cycle.
You like Todd Monken.
You like Kingsbury. I'm just telling you.
Kingsbury. Why would you like Kingsbury? You have to wake him up to interview. He doesn't even know if he wants the job. He doesn't even know if he wants to work.
He's playing possum, though.
I mean, come on.
You don't believe that.
Have you watched what Cliff Kingsbury's done with Jaden Daniels? I'm just going to ask that question.
My whole
thing is Caleb over everything.
Have you watched what Jaden Daniels has done with Cliff Kingsbury's offense?
The Bears' problem
is... he comes first.
The Bears are not Caleb over everything. I think the Bears are COE, but it's comfort over everything.
Ooh. That's, I like that. Ooh. It sounds very accurate based on what we know.
She got that in just at the buzzer, 9:59. Layla. That's still on our show. Way to go, Layla.
Guess what?
Just as a we red get it light
tomorrow.
Goes on.
Oh, they'll all say that I'm ignorant. That's a little tease for tomorrow. Stupid, that's a tease for tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, she come back tomorrow. You get up early.
Just look at the clip going viral. You can don't have to look far to hear people tell me how dumb I am constantly every day because I pointed out that Jaden Daniels and Jalen Carter had good games this weekend.
Jalen Carter's a brute squad, man.
It's a problem.
Heaven forbid we point out that Bears passing on players had good the Bears players they could have had in drafts.
Wait, people are mad at you for pointing that out.
Oh, of course, because I wanted Darnell Wright, but I also wanted Darnell Wright because the Bears decided to move the way they did. They could have drafted offensive linemen the year prior. They've taken two punters.
They've drafted
two punters in three drafts.
It's not great.
And their third round pick isn't on the team anymore, and we're still talking about the left tackle in the words for a fifth rounder. It's great.
What do you guys have today?
We're going to reset the state of the search, what we call Bears SOS, and the impact of yesterday's games and everything we're talking about regarding the Bears. I think that there's some truth that we need to tell about Patrick Mahomes, where a couple of facts can be true, and we can hold both truths in our head at the same time. We are going to talk about Todd Monken and the job that he did yesterday. The Sammy Sosa stuff got really weird over the weekend. It was like he apologized, then he unapologized, and nobody cares, and it doesn't matter, and ever just sort of agreeing not to care. High noon, 11:45. We will talk a little bit about this strange candidacy of Cliff Kingsbury. Tom Ricketts had some statements that can be examined closely at 12:25. We're going to ask at 12:45, WNBA WTF. Someone's asleep at the switch in that league. And we have to find out why. Kalen Kaler is going to join us at 1 to talk about the article that shook the football world. And we'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on.
Have a great show.